It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And today, we are going to talk a polarizing NFL draft prospect in the name of Kadarius Toney. And to do so, we have brought on one of my favorite people in the industry. Dude is in the streets for NFL draft prospects every single year, heading to the Senior Bowl and what have you to get you the goods. My dude, Alex Dunlap, over at Alex Dunlap NFL. He is the main squeeze, the man running. Head over to rosterwatch.com. Adam, are you excited to do this? Talk with Alex about Kadarius Toney today, man?
Yeah, I did my Kadarius Toney breakdown on the site like a couple weeks ago, and I've been excited to talk about him. And it's a crazy time right now. Like, we've been doing the blurbs for the breaking news stuff at FTN Fantasy for free agency. It's like if you don't have Twitter notifications on, you're doing it wrong. So it's wild. And we will, by the way, have a free agency podcast on Friday breaking down all the signings and stuff. But we got to continue these prospect profiles, man. And I'm excited to talk about Kadarius Toney here.
Alex, thank you for stopping by the podcast, man. This is going to be awesome. Really, really want to pick your brain about him, man. Before we kind of get started here, I mean, if anybody does not know what you got going on at RosterWatch, tell the good people what's up.
Oh, well, yeah. Thanks, boys, for having me. Just same as always, dude. Going around trying to get to these facilities and get to these workouts, get to the various events as we can. You know, we got a little lesson starting around this time last year about how to navigate through COVID. Now that we're thankfully sort of coming out of that, things are opening up a little bit again, and we get back to normal about just getting boots on the ground, getting to go see these guys, and bringing whatever information that we can. You know, that's what we do in the off season. Of course, in season, we're just like you guys, dude. We get pretty much laser focused on our, you know, drafting our teams and getting our dynasty leagues together. And then once the season hits, we're all about, you know, trying to do what we can about solving the DFS puzzle and the sit start things every week. So this time of year is a lot of fun because you don't have the, you know, the day to day, you know, I wake up, I do this, and I wake up and I do this, and it's just the same grind every day. But there's still, I mean, it's still a grind, like Adam was saying, man, between, you know, keeping up with free agency, getting all your profiles in, trying to get out to see these guys, and, you know, keeping up with the offseason tools. That's kind of what we do. It's a different time of year, but it's a time of year that I love for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a fantastic time of year diving into all these prospects and what they mean for the NFL and kind of where they land and stuff like that. So we're going to get through all of that before we kind of get kicked off discussing all the possibilities for Kadarius Toney. Got to mention Collectible here. Brand new partnership working with FTN. It's a fantastic new site. So head over to collectible.com today/FTN for all the details. You are going to be able to buy real equity shares in rare and exciting sports collectibles, sports cards, memorabilia, and so much more, man. Share prices starting at just a dollar. Easy to get your foot in the door right now. So collectible.com/FTN for all the details. So let's kick this off, guys. Kadarius Toney, coming out of high school, was a three-star prospect heading to Florida. Guy had multiple offers. And if you look at his production since he was at Florida, man, I mean, it's kind of all over the map, man. Guy stands at 5'11", 189. The analytical numbers do not jump off the page for the guy. College Dominator is only at 30th percentile. His breakout age is at 21.6. His target share doesn't scream immense stud for a guy that's been rumored in some mocks to be going at the back end of the first. 28th percentile sitting at 17.8%. The first 3 years of Florida were not fantastic. I mean, the guy didn't surpass 300 yards receiving in any single season until this past in the year 2020. Had 984 yards receiving, 17.8% target share. I mean, diving into all of this, Alex, what are your thoughts, at least looking at Kadarius Toney's production while his time at Florida?
Well, I was just looking it up. You mentioned he came in in 2017. So, came in 2017, didn't do a whole lot, but I mean, he came in as a Wildcat quarterback, right? They didn't know what they were going to do with him. They didn't
He was like a gadget guy when they used him the first couple of years.
They didn't know what they were going to do with him. And then in his second season would have been what, 2018. I think before that year, I was just looking it up, and let me just make sure that this is right. I don't want to, you know, say anything about the kid when it's not true. But yeah, there were some disciplinary issues prior to the 2018 season, something about not like a weapon. It turned out it was just it was later determined to be an airsoft rifle. But Kadarius Toney, defensive tackle Kyrie Campbell, they faced the university discipline for holding and pointing what appears to be an assault rifle at other individuals on campus. It turned out to just be an airsoft gun, you know, that was Tony's. It resembled an AR-15 assault rifle. So there were some things there that he had that was in July of 2018. Coming into that season, he actually, you know, basically – I don't have his numbers pulled up, but I remember thinking he basically doubled what he did as a freshman. Then in 2019, just an injury. That was an injury season. He did play, but he played through that season injured. 2020 was the year that things finally came around for him. You know, was the team. You know, he was the number one wide receiver for those guys, and we could talk about his profile, his attributes, and everything else like that. But the fact of the matter is, he was on a team even with a guy like Kyle Pitts, even with his teammate, Grimes was also Trevon Grimes. So a couple of other guys there, you know, catching the football. We've seen that he can be in that kind of role where he's sort of the alpha dog, at least as far as the outside receivers that other teams worry about. The late breakout age is worrisome for some. It's worrisome for me. You know, it should be worrisome for anybody that pays attention to the right details. But, you know, you feel like it could be explained in the way that, you know, 2017, he comes in, you don't know what the hell you're going to do with the guy. 2018, he at least gets better. Was 2019 the first year the new head coach after McElwain to Mullen? So you have that. I'm not sure if it's 2018 or 2019. We can look it up. But you have not only that, but you have the injuries. You know, the breakout could have occurred 1 year earlier had those injuries not have happened. So I'm not quite, you know, I don't want to discount it, but I think that, you know, it's part of his profile. You know, we weigh negatively against other really, really positive aspects of his profile.
Well, if you look at the rest of it, Alex, we're talking about giving context to his overall profile too. I mean, his freshman season, he only played 8 games. He had shoulder and shin injuries in that season as well. So, I mean, we're talking about, there's a lot of noise here. There's a lot of, you're talking about, the guy was a dual threat quarterback all throughout high school. I mean, they had him labeled as an athlete when he arrived at Florida. I mean, I think that's a great way to put it. Like, they didn't know what the hell they were going to do with this guy. You know what I mean? So he played quarterback, and we talked about previous prospects that arrived at certain colleges, like the Kenny Gainwells of the world, but also played quarterback. And they arrive at the colleges, and sometimes, I mean, we're talking about the assumption of rational coaching with some of these colleges. Like, they bring in these athletes, and they're saying, okay, like, it's the same thing with the NFL. Some of these guys are a projection, and it's, okay, what can we mold this guy into? But Adam, what are your thoughts on there? Because, I mean, I know, like, looking at all of the injuries, and if you're looking at a projection guy entering the collegiate level, I mean, some of that has to get stunted, right, in the process?
Yeah, it's definitely fair, and it makes you wonder if NFL teams, whoever drafts him, views him in the same light as, okay, is he going to be a gadget player, or is he going to be a player that we just plug in as our wide receiver 2 or our wide receiver 3 in an NFL offense? But, yeah, I mean, the breakout age, like, I think – Alex brought up a lot of the good points that maybe you shouldn't take it with a full grain of salt because of the fact that he wasn't really used as a traditional, like, full-time receiver until his final season at Florida. I mean, and when he did, and when they did do that, he was obviously super productive, right? I mean, he had 10 touchdowns in his final season, almost 1,000 receiving yards, 70 receptions. Also was really, you know, really a factor in the return game. So I think you have to, like, look at it both ways. But yeah, you'd obviously feel better about him as a prospect if it was, you know, a season where, he entered Florida, they knew exactly what to do with him, they knew he was a traditional wide receiver, and he just kind of balled out. But also, I mean, to score 10 touchdowns, I know Kyle Pitts missed some time in 2020 as well, but I feel like any time they had a chance to throw to Kyle Pitts in the end zone, they probably did. So the fact that he scored 10 touchdowns, and yes, they weren't really, most of them weren't really of the, you know, red zone 5 yards and in variety, but I still think Kadarius Toney is an absolute baller. So that's why I think you mentioned it like before we started. He's like a really polarizing player in this draft class, and these are some of the reasons why.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely, for the first time you turn on the film, and we'll kind of lean into some of his strengths right now. Like, the speed is definitely evident from the first time that you hit hit play. I mean, the guy can fly, and it's not so much burst with him that I think it's like a lot of it's straight line speed. And for a guy that there are a lot of, and we're going to discuss areas that he could improve on here in a bit, but there are, like, this is a guy that has relied on a lot of that raw athleticism to this point. At least watching, I watched 4 or 5 games of his, and there were times where he was just a better athlete than a lot of the guys that were he was matched up against on the field. Like, he torched Alabama, but a lot of it wasn't nuance and his route running and things like that, releases off the line. It was the fact that the dude was just blazing past fools, like running simple go routes and saying, I'm faster than you. We're talking about, like, that type of athleticism definitely translates to the next level. Now, is he going to be able to win, and we'll discuss that in a bit, like, versus corners when he's put in certain matchups on the outside and such? That's questionable, absolutely, but the guy has definitely got athleticism for days, and as well as a guy, like, we're talking about the build, he's not 6'2", 220, and that nature, but the guy can break tackles. There were numerous times where he was either, like, stopped on a screen, stopped at the line, given a handoff, or a pass that was right over the middle. And because of lower body strength and what have you, a lot of these long plays were not like plays he was given in space. It was him breaking tackles to create these long plays. But Alex, what do you think if we're talking about Kadarius Toney, the bag of tricks that he has going to the NFL, what are the ways he succeeds in making that leap?
Well, it's going to be in the slot, but it, you know, it won't be as a, you know, traditional, you know, it's not going to be like a Cole Beasley in the slot, clearly. Mm-hmm. I think if you got a chance just watching really clearly and watch some of his stems off the line of scrimmage, you watch some of his stuff that he does to try and get separation there at the very beginning of his routes, even before his routes transition point, I think that you will notice that he does have some explosiveness and some burst. It's that's actually really, really evident. It's almost like a, you know, I don't know much about basketball. I'm a football guy, you know, but you can kind of just see, it's like sometimes when he's close to the line of scrimmage, he almost acts like a basketball player with like a point guard at the top of the key or something.
100%.
That's exactly what I thought. It's funny you bring that up, dude, because the Ole Miss game, the dude literally did a spin move off the line to get separation. Yeah. And then it looked like he crossed a guy over. Like, literally, if you were watching basketball, like, he just did a crossover move.
I'm telling you,
it was insane.
Go watch the touchdown he had against South Carolina. It's like legitimately my favorite highlight of any player in this draft class. Like,
I know that play. Yeah.
He did the same thing. He did like a stutter step crossover, and the linebacker was completely gone. And then he ran through 3 defenders and then scored. It's my favorite highlight of any player I've watched so far. It's so good.
And Derek mentioned about how he can, you know, about his elusiveness in the open field when it comes, like, how he honestly, he's got a little bit of physicality to him.
Yeah.
He runs actually, you know, if you watch him run in the open field, it's weird. As he gets up to speed, he kind of keeps this kind of low prowl of a pad level. Just when you think about him, I noticed at the Senior Bowl, that was something I was like, man, a lot of times when these guys get up to full speed, these dudes pull up, you know. That wasn't how it was with him. It seems like he's always in an athletic and sort of ready position like that. So, you know, I'll just also say, as far as the momentum, you know, whenever he gets in and out of these breaks and he makes these big cuts, or if he has to do any of these like evasive maneuvers in the open field, it's pretty crazy about his momentum. He doesn't seem to lose it. I remember at the Senior Bowl practices, he kind of like, I'm just like, that kind of reminds me of KJ Hamler film. It's like, as much as you watch it, it's like, no matter what he's doing, he's always just fast. You know, the momentum doesn't seem to go anywhere. It doesn't seem physically right. So Those are all things about Kadarius Toney that are super impressive. And when you put all those things together and you look at the production, you look at the big school, you look at the fact that he has pro day coming up, I believe on March 31st, mm-hmm. He's going to run fourth. He's going to run in the 4.3s. There's zero doubt about it. So when you add in that kind of stuff, it's like, it makes sense to me that guys like Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks are saying that he'll be a round one pick. We're looking at, rookie mock drafts in Dynasty right now, where I've seen guys like, Rondale Moore or Rashad Bateman or I'm trying to think of some of these other guys that I find it odd. But Kadarius Toney will go – Terrace Marshall. Kadarius Toney, yeah. Sometimes we'll be going ahead of those guys if you're not playing in super – industry-ish leagues, wherever the industry guys are, it feels like the dynasty industry maybe is a little bit more down on Kadarius Toney than the draft industrial complex is. It's kind of like the reverse Tyler Johnson. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
this is a dude who it seems like the NFL is all in on, but the dynasty community is a little bit like, oh, what? Whereas, Tyler Johnson, the NFL, no Senior Bowl invite, no Shrine Game invite, but the dynasty community is just all, Hakeem Butler is a similar example. It's like the opposite of that. And I don't know exactly why. Like you guys said, he's a polarizing prospect that I can see both sides of the coin on. And I was in we were doing a mock, our guys at Roster Watch were doing a rookie mock draft last week with the guys at Roto Underworld. Mm-hmm. And I got Kadarius Toney at the 3.03 in a one quarterback league, oh, wow. Which to me was just startling. He goes after guys like Elijah Moore and Seth Williams and stuff like that. So I think if you can get him in a value like that, it's great. And I think in a lot of these dynasty leagues, dude, you might be looking at taking Kadarius Toney at the 1-2 turn. Of course, it'll be dependent on landing spot, it'll be dependent on testing, but he does have those things, and he has that speed, he has that startling ability to get in and out of breaks, and that sheer explosiveness that dynasty players, when they just see it and they hear the big draft media talking about him, I mean, he's very, very clearly going to be somebody that is on the radar of a lot of players.
Oh, I agree, man. And it's really interesting, like all the names you brought up there of like guys that are probably sneaking into the back end of the first round and a lot of rookie mocks and probably rookie drafts walking into dynasty season before the NFL draft and afterwards, is that if you were to look at his profile just on face value, outside of like breakout age and things of that nature, because him and Rondale Moore are very different in terms of that. Like Rondale Moore had the early career breakout, yeah. But like, then also dealt with a ton of injuries. He's explosive. He's a guy that's been used a ton around the line of scrimmage. Like,
was Rondale like 17 when he broke out?
I mean, dude, he basically put on his cleats, arrived at college and was out. Just like, boom. And he was just, he was everywhere, dude. So, him and Rondale Moore are really, really interesting, kind of bipolar, but really similar prospects as guys who were used in similar manners at their prospective colleges. But if you look at the on-paper analytics, like breakout age, what they did and how they did it, there's a lot of noise in both of their profiles. A lot of the differences is that Rondale did that as soon as he hit the ground, and Toney didn't do that until this last season. So it's like, how are these two guys going to be viewed and viewed very, very differently based off a lot of that? But Adam, what are your thoughts? Like comparing the two of those and some of the things that you feel like, does Toney actually do a little bit better, if anything, versus Rondale?
It's tough. I think you can make the argument that Kadarius Toney has like stronger, better hands. Like, I think that's an underrated part of his game. Like, Toney has really strong hands from what I watch. Like, he just, I don't know, the ball just kind of doesn't move when it hits his hands. Or Rondale had some drop issues at Purdue. But no, I think it's an interesting point to kind of compare the two, because they are similar in the way they're probably going to be used at the NFL level in the slot, in creative ways, handoffs, reverses, jet sweep, stuff like that. But it's, I think if you asked, 10 people in the industry or draft analysts or whatever, who they had higher in their receiver rankings, I don't know if you guys would agree, but I think 7 or 8 of them would say Rondale Moore.
I think
a dynasty, I'm not sure that in like the NFL draft community, it would be the same.
I think it's exactly flipped like you're talking about, Alex. I feel like everybody's way lower on Rondell as far as the NFL draft community. I have not seen a mock yet anywhere at all that's put Rondell Moore in the first round, but Kadarius Toney's name has snuck into the first round in NFL circles in all of these mock drafts. You know, versus you were talking about the dynasty community. We're all talking about Rondell Moore as being like a top 5, top 10 dynasty wide receiver in this class. And a lot of people are like, okay, well, Kadarius Toney is not even in that top 5 conversation. But I've seen Rondell Moore in that conversation. And this is not Rondell Moore shade. I love Rondell Moore. I just think it's a really interesting dichotomy versus these two industries and where they stand on it, you know, and versus draft capital. Because, I mean, like, looking at all these analytics, half of this screams, okay, go for Rondell Moore. The other half of this screams in what the NFL thinks. And if you dive into draft capital, do you lean more towards Toney if he gets that first round bump? But we talked about all these great things about Kadarius Toney and what he can succeed at and how he can succeed in the NFL level, making the transition. Alex, what are some areas that you feel like are concerns or areas that like Toney can improve on going to the next level?
Well, I agree that, you know, I agree with what we said earlier about him, you know, on tape. He's got good hands. He's got big hands. I think his hands are 9 5/8 inches, which is pretty big for a guy his size. There were a couple of bad drops during the Senior Bowl practices that looked more like concentration drops to me. The point was I forgot whether it was Derek or I forgot which who said he has strong hands. That's really true. And he also has really his hands are soft. Like whenever the ball hits him, it doesn't make a loud slap. It does, and so that's what makes me think that, you know, you go to these Senior Bowls or even, you know, when we get a combine again, or people, if you guys, you know, not YouTube, but you know, anybody listening, if you guys watch the gauntlet drills, one of the things that really is important to listen to in the gauntlet is just how the ball sounds when it hits these guys' hands. It's like you could tell whose hands are soft and who really sees those things in and who catches them with some soft strength in their hands. Toney does it, so I was not worried about those drops in Senior Bowl practices. There were some bad ones, but I was like, those are concentration drops. He's trying to get his head upfield too fast. He's trying to show off this yards after catch ability. So not necessarily worried about the hands. I am maybe a little bit worried about, instances where there could be a lack of concentration. You know, of course, you also worry about only one productive season. We've talked about that. We've talked about his injury history. We've sort of explained a bit of it away, but it is a worry. And then what my guy, the Trash Man, continues to say and why he's so down on him is he's just like, I've seen it again and again. This guy's going to be relegated to be like some kind of weapon instead of an every down player. He's got this juice to him. He's got this game breaking ability to him, but it almost feels like somebody a coach would get and have him be like a new toy. And I could certainly see that being a danger and, you know, taking him for fantasy if he's not going to be a guy who's out there running, you know, 60, 70% of routes.
And that's exactly what my problem with Toney is at the next level. Like, I think that looking at his route running, we talked about the releases and stuff of that nature. I still think that there is a ton, like the way that they used him in Florida, we're talking about a guy that entered Florida being a little bit raw, effectively played quarterback all in high school and stuff of that nature, injuries and what have you. Some of the other second level nuance things to his game. I mean, he's going to the NFL. Everybody runs a freaking 4.4. Everybody's athletic as hell. You know, so are a lot of these other things going to be able to translate where he just run past different guys as opposed to being like his route running and stuff. And looking at how he was utilized in Florida and that going to the NFL, I mean, I saw him multiple different spots where, like, at Florida, he was running off of screens. He had one jab steps, and he's running out routes and stuff. So his utilization, I mean, basically they were saying, okay, you're really, really freaking athletic. Let's just put you in space and try to get you out in space and allow you to just do what you could do. And going to the next level, like, I worry that he's going to be one of these guys that's looked at as more of like a chess piece, that he's more of a gadget guy. Like, even garnering this high draft capital, is he going to be somebody like a Tavon Austin that's like an NFL team just is like, okay, I don't know what the hell to do with this guy. Like, Curtis Samuel is a guy that had a lot of different things in his basket going to the NFL and a lot of talent, but we saw him struggled with the transition to the NFL because, like, offensive coordinators are like, man, I don't know what the hell to do with this dude. I mean, do you worry about any of those usage concerns like we're talking about here, Adam?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, like you mentioned, like, he's definitely not the most defined route runner in this class by any means. Like, he almost kind of just kind of goes, makes it up as he goes, which when you have that athleticism and speed and stuff, like, you can win like that at the college level, but consistently in the NFL, like, if you don't have that defined kind of route tree, it'll hurt you at times. Like, the guys that in the NFL that don't have the most defined route tree make up for it by just being absolute freaks, you know, DK Metcalfs of the world and stuff like that. So that's definitely a concern. It just kind of really, it's going to depend on where he lands and how creative the offensive play callers are and who's around him, because I don't think you're drafting Kadarius Toney and saying, okay, we're running our offense through him. But there's going to be value with him because he's so, he's one of the players in this class, you know, not quite like Jalen Waddle, but he can take, you know, almost any play to the house. And there's obviously a lot of potential there. And that was the one weakness I was going to point out to D-Bro, is the fact that he's not the most polished route runner. And will that work consistently at the NFL level?
That's my biggest concern going to the NFL level. Like, is he going to be looked at as like, I mean, we've seen guys like in previous years, like, hell, Henry Ruggs last year, have an up and down collegiate career, and say what you want about it. But like, even with the draft capital, he didn't garner a huge role in that Raiders offense, and there were targets to be had. I mean, hell, freaking Nelson Agholor stood up and outproduced him. You know, so do we see that for Kadarius Toney? If the NFL draft community is so high on this guy and he goes in the first round, are we walking out of that first season and a lot of people are like, okay, he's a bust? Because some of the things that he needs to improve on in his game are some things that, like, how even Florida didn't ask out of him. Is an NFL team going to be asking that out of him at the next level? And he's like, look, like, I mean, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. But I haven't been asked that before. And some of them, like, we're talking about nuanced route running. And a guy that was used primarily out of the slot, like, you'd have to go back all the way to 2018 to find a season where he didn't run like nearly 80% of his routes out of the slot. So if a team is going to look at him to even to play like a stretch Z role on the outside, could that be something that Kadarius Toney is going to struggle at the next level? Or do you think that he could just walk in and play the Z position from day one, Alex?
I think if he could play, he could play the stretch. Yeah, he could play the stretch Z, or he could play the slot. I think he's fine. I don't worry about his ability to get off. I mean, I think his feet are his. One of the things I like best about him is how nifty his feet are. I think his stems are going to be fine. I also, when I'm looking at these guys that are, and it seems like we're going more and more this way, with the way that, various coaching staffs are using these players. I think a lot of the times they use these guys, they train them on all the concepts if they're going to be playing at either the stretch Z or the slot. They want to get the best matchups on the field. So they'll teach those same concepts. They know that, you know, guys aren't going to get up on these guys and press just because of the cushion that you get out of the slot or when you're at the Z with the space off the line of scrimmage. And also, like, I'm kind of like my guy Ray Garvin, Ray GQ on Twitter, who says, like, man, how often do these guys face a really sick press corner anyway? Like, a lot of these corners don't press. Yeah, and a lot of them press, they're not that good.
It's so, like, the same thing as when people say, like, oh, X player X is hurt, and now the superstar receiver is going to be doubled. Like, nobody doubles like that.
Like, right. It seems intuitive to say, but it doesn't always happen like that in actual practice.
Yeah, and I could definitely see that. So we're talking about different, like, fits and landing spots for his skill set and how he's utilized the NFL level. Like, Alex, where do you think Toney possibly lands in the NFL draft? Like, I think we're all in kind of agreement here. If he lands in the first round, he probably shouldn't be a first round pick. Like, I think that he could go in the second if he falls out of the first. But what teams do you see him landing on?
Well, just when I think about it, just right off the top of my head, I think, how about the Titans? I mean, mm-hmm. they just lost Jonnu Smith. They've just lost Corey Davis. AJ Brown is so good over the middle on these drag routes, these intermediate routes, these crossing routes. He's such a beast after catch. Imagine having somebody opposite him who's just such a dynamic, you know, a truly dynamic field stretcher, somebody who the defense is going to have to account for and who a safety is going to have to account for. Is not going to be able to crack down on AJ Brown. So I didn't have much time to, I wasn't prepared for the question, but as I started thinking through the various divisions, the AFC South was the second one I got to. And I think I just came up with an awesome one. I think the Titans would be a great landing spot.
I agree. Yeah. They're written down for me. It was the Titans and Packers. Packers are like the boring one, but they need a yak guy. Like they have MVS, who's not really reliable, but he's a deep threat. And when he gets separation, it's just, he has to catch the football. They have Devontae, who works every part of the field, and they have Tony in the red zone. They need a guy that can just make plays in the short area after the catch. So I like Tony there, but would they take him in the first round? No, but maybe in the second or third round. Probably not the third round. I don't think he'd be there. And the Titans were the other team I had written down, especially because I had this written down like knowing that they were going to lose at least Corey Davis, and then they obviously lose him and Jonnu. But this is a team that's predicated off play action and yak, and he would kind of fit right in with that. Jonnu was ridiculous after the catch. A.J. Brown's been ridiculous after the catch. So I think he'd fit right in with Tannehill, and he wouldn't have to – with Derrick Henry getting 30 carries a game and A.J. Brown getting his 8 to 10 targets a game, like he wouldn't have to come in and assume a huge role right out the gate.
And do you know what? Also, a guy like Kadarius Toney and pre-snap motions and stuff like that with a guy like Derrick Henry in the backfield, but that becomes hard to deal with. That really, really stresses you, and it really puts you in conflict. Yeah,
I mean, they gave Jonnu multiple handoffs last year, so imagine what they could do with Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I like the Tennessee landing spot. The other two teams that kind of jumped out to me as far as like fit in – an offensive mind, I think, would utilize his skill set and the way that we would want to see him utilized were Buffalo. And some of this is piggybacking off of some of the places that we saw about Rondale Moore. Like, I think Buffalo is a really interesting spot at the top of the second. I think that Carolina also is really, really interesting.
Use him like they use Samuel.
Exactly. Like, they could just pigeonhole him into the Curtis Samuel role, put him in the slot, use him on rushing attempts, and get a lot of multiplicity out of his use. I would love Carolina, but I don't know your thoughts with that one, Alex.
Oh, it's funny. I'm looking at my profile that I did of him, and I mean, my comps for Kadarius Toney are some mix of KJ Hamler, Curtis Samuel, and Antoine Randall L. So, I mean, clearly, I think I'm not sure that I love the way that Curtis Samuel's been utilized by the Panthers, but I think I'm on the same wavelength as you that that's a similar comp, and he could come in and do similarly, or similar things could be asked of him as what has been asked of him by not only this most recent Panther staff, but the Panther staff beforehand. And Kadarius Toney could come in and do those things. I think that Curtis Samuel, though, I think Curtis Samuel is still yet to be unlocked, and that's a whole other podcast. But
right. Oh, no, agreed. And my comp for him is actually a poor man's Curtis Samuel. Like, I think Curtis Samuel is a better route runner. I think he's equally explosive. I still think we still have not seen the best out of Curtis Samuel.
Nope.
But before we get you out of here, we've discussed everything about all Kadarius Toney. Alex, before we let you go here, what all fantastic things you got going on at Roster Watch right now?
Oh, just a bunch of the stuff, man. You guys can hear me or, Trash Man or some of the great guests we have on. Derek's been a guest on the pod before. We try and have one or two guests a week, and then I'll get stuff up for various profiles and stuff. Just search for the Roster Watch podcast wherever you listen, for your podcatchers. Also on Twitter at Roster Watch, the rosterwatch.com. We have a bunch of, we have content that goes up every day. We have content on youtube.com/rosterwatch from me and from Trash Man and from some of our great contributors like Alan Seslowski and some other guys coming on. So you can check us out there on YouTube. And we do this year round, man. We live it, breathe it, eat it, sleep it. we would do, I don't even know what else you can do with it, but we would do it.
Dude, I was excited to be able to talk prospects with you, Alex. It's always a fantastic time, man. The depth of knowledge and the fact that y'all get out there to the freaking Senior Bowl every single year. Y'all got boots on the ground. It is awesome, man. So thanks again for stopping by. Adam and I are going to be back discussing all things NFL draft prospects and diving into free agency and landing spots and giving you our takes later this week. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.